And ask for the Lord's blessing as we consider our text. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and again, we thank you for providing for us this account of the work of the Spirit of God, of the work of Jesus Christ through these faithful servants, ambassadors, apostles, sent ones. And we thank you, Lord, that you have also called us to go out into all the world to be your sent ones. And we pray that you would enable us also to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today through your word as the redeemed of the Lord, as your people. And we pray for those who know you not, that this good, glad tidings that is proclaimed, even the gospel, would have impact upon those who know you not. O Lord, have mercy on their souls. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday we focused on the phrase words fitly spoken as a way to describe this message. We only stepped into the middle of it as Paul is explaining or defending the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that was the big separation, if you will, in Israel between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees rejected the concept or the ability or the idea of the resurrection. The Pharisees did not. But the resurrection of Christ in particular. And notice that Paul, as he gave this word fitly spoken, he brings in Psalm 2 and he brings in another Psalm, Psalm 16, in his support. And then later on, he'll bring in Habakkuk chapter 1. And again, farther on down in verse 47, he will then quote Isaiah. And so he's arguing his speech is seasoned with salt, if you will. It's seasoned with the word of God. The scripture, Proverbs says, the words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. Or another way of saying it, they're a work of art, and they're a beautiful work of art. And here in this particular sermon of Paul, we actually get an opportunity to hear what a sermon was like in the time as far as a sermon to those Jews that were there. And so we thought about that. We looked at that. We looked at the message. What I want to focus on in particular today is, and it's in the title of the sermon, Be Careful, Little Ears, How You Hear. Be careful, little ears, how you hear. Earlier today in our Sunday school, someone mentioned that God gives us two ears and one mouth. Why is that? Well, because we should be listening more than speaking. We need to have those ears aware, open, and receptive. What we find today in the account is there are some with their ears that are open and they're listening and they're rejoicing and they're excited about what they're hearing. And there are others who are angry and they may not be listening to what he's saying, but they're reacting to the effect of or the beauty of the words, the message of the gospel. Proposition there is in the bulletin. In Proverbs, we are taught that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver, but it must be heard or received in order for it to be truly fit for the occasion. Again, we find in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But again, we must remember that the ear is an integral part of that transaction as well. In other words, one of the most important marks of a true disciple of Christ is how well one listens, believes, and does what Christ said. Many people hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, but the question is, what do they do with what they hear? What about you? As we read in James, are you a hearer of the Word and a doer of the Word, or a forgetful hearer of the Word? Do you remember last Sunday's sermon? Did it all have any impact this week? What about today? Are you going to hear what the Spirit is saying? So we are on phase 3 of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said that you will be my witnesses, phase 1, in Jerusalem, phase two in Judea and Samaria, and phase three is now to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus Christ is doing and teaching through Paul and Barnabas there in Asia Minor. We're in the midst of this first missionary journey. We're seeing that the work of the Spirit of God bringing conviction and salvation unto many who needed to hear. So here we are with another Sabbath in Antioch. So as we open our passage, we picked up the sermon of Paul, and then we are now in verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together. Why? To hear the word of God. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your Torah, your law, your instruction. It is my meditation all day long." It's a wonderful statement. Is it yours? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you have it in your heart? Do you read it? Do you think about it? Do you chew on it? Do you meditate on it? God speaks words that are beautiful. He is not silent, nor a babbler, muttering to himself. God speaks clearly. God is a God who communicates. When God created, how did he create? God spoke, "Let there be light," and light was. God, in his creative power, established not only the existence of things, but relationships with the things that he created, and especially with the crown of his creation, you and I, mankind. God spoke that covenant relationship. God speaks the truth, and it does not fail. How great is the gift that we have received. We have the ability to hear the Word of God, to hear God speaking, to understand what he's saying, and the ability to put it into practice. Do we understand and appreciate, do you appreciate the Word of God? The best way to say yes to that is, "Yes, and I put it into practice. It is more precious to me than gold, than honey, and all of that." So here we see in our text, verse 43, or even backing up, verse 42, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God." God had prepared the hearers. They had received with joy, and there was a great desire for what? Give me more. I want my friends and my neighbors to hear what I am hearing, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love, God's grace to us, the work of God in our lives. God's word. These are important to me. These are more precious than anything. And so, please come again, Paul, and speak the words of truth. Again, in verse 48, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God." Again, these are people that were not raised in the church. These were not people that were not raised with the Bible. They were seeking to understand the will of God by strange, we would call strange manners, through oracles and through other superstitious means. They were worshiping false gods and demons in order to understand what God's will is. And now God's word, God's will is being clearly revealed to them. And what is their reaction? Their reaction is to rejoice and to glorify the word of the Lord, to be reflectors of it. Say, this is beautiful. Let me tell you about it. This is what, let me tell you about Jesus and what he's done for me and why you need him too. Rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. It was like, scripture says, it was like food and drink. Is the word of God to you like food and drink? I don't know about you, but I like to eat. I enjoy a good meal. I enjoy good, tasty food. Scripture says that the word of God in scripture itself is what? What kind of food is it? It's like honey in the honeycomb. It's a water that quenches the thirst of a soul who is thirsty. It brings relief. It brings restoration. It brings strengthening of one's body. Yesterday we were working and we took a break from moving, and someone brought pizzas to us. And I don't know about you, but for me, as I'm eating that pizza, thanks. I needed that. That energized and enabled me and for many of us to continue to work. And so it is that the Word of God is even more necessary than our daily food. It's more, it gives us more than what we need even from food and drink. Secondly, Scripture says that the Word of God is like seed. It is planted. The Word of God is such that it causes growth. How much of your life is hindered from growth because the Word is not being planted in your heart? God promises and God gives great blessing. And one of those ways that that blessing comes is through the planting of seed. My son planted a garden out in our yard, and we're starting to see the various plants starting to pop through. And as I see those, I'm thinking, well, you know, that used to be grass there. Underneath there is still grass. It's dying. But I'm going, well, you know, if he hadn't had this idea to create this garden and get the soil and get the plant all the seeds, there wouldn't be these beautiful little plants that are now popping on the way through and on their way to grow into these beautiful food. The Word of God is like seed. The Word of God is like the water that waters the seed. The Word of God brings life and growth. And then again, God's word is referred to in Scripture as a sword or like a hammer, something that is used as a tool to bring life and to bring death. And so God's word is a blessing in so many ways. But what is your attitude, or better yet, what is your state when it comes to the Word of God? Are you a hearer of the Word of God? A receiver of the Word of God? Is it something that you delight in, that you desire? Do you appreciate it? Or another way of saying is, what kind of canvas are you? Again, we were talking about words just fitly spoken are like a beautiful painting. What kind of painting are you? What kind of painting is your life? Does your life reflect, can people see the Word of God in your life? Do they read the Word of God? Paul says of the Corinthians that you are living epistles seen and read of men. Men see, men and women see your life, and that's probably the only Bible they're ever going to read. Some may receive it with joy. Some may hate it and kick against it, like Saul of Tarsus kicking against the goads. But the point is that what is seen in your life? Is the Word of God being applied in your life? And do people see it? What's your canvas look like? Secondly, second point in the sermon, not hearing it leads to judgment and death. The Word of God is at work even if someone is not listening. As a matter of fact, it does have an effect. What happens, for example, when you're at work and your boss is commanding you or telling you to do something and you're not listening? The boss specifically says you're to go here and you're to do that or you're not to do that, and you don't listen. What happens to you? You get fired, right? What happens in war if you're in the army and you don't listen and you don't do what your commander says? What can happen to you? Well, you don't get fired. What happened? You get charged with insubordination, and it could lead to your death. It could lead to your death if you end up getting shot by the enemy, but if you're insubordinate, it could lead to your death being shot in front of a firing squad. Or at least you would be drummed out of the army. Not hearing can lead to judgment and even death. What is the wages of sin? Death. Is sin insubordination? And the answer is yes, it is. It's rebellion against God's revealed word, God's truth, God's law. And so the wages of sin, the wages of insubordination, the wages of not listening to God's word leads to death. So in our text, look at verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Do you hear the finality of that statement? As I read that passage and as I think about it, I almost hear a door shutting. Behold, you are being cut off from the Word of God. We turn to the Gentiles. How sad. Here, these who have been given the truth of God's word, they have been given the responsibility of holding unto and are committed unto their hands, the scripture says, the oracles of God. Every Sabbath, they come together and they open the Bible and they read it out loud and they discuss it. And now the word comes through the apostles, and that word is taken away. A blindness, a rejection of them. How sad, how bad it is to oppose the truth. But then it goes from bad to worse in our text. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. It went from bad to worse. Well, number one is not listening to and opposing the truth, but now an attempt to stop and destroy those who would share the truth. The synagogue, the place where people came together, where God's word was available, and now we find these attacking the very messengers of God. Now, Paul had previously warned them. Look at verse 40. Paul says, "Beware, therefore, lest that which is spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." Paul enters the synagogue, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and says, "Beware. Beware you don't listen. Beware you don't believe. The prophets said that there were going to be those who don't listen and don't believe. Don't be one of them. Listen to what I have to say. It will be judgment if you don't. And what happened? Did they listen? The answer is no. They rejected and attacked the messengers. This warning was not heard. My question to you this morning is, will you listen and beware lest you fall into a similar condemnation? Just because you come to church and hear the word preached doesn't mean that you're saved, number one. Number two, that is profitable. As a matter of fact, it is not good to hear the word of God and then just ignore it or to allow something else to dictate as opposed to God's word. Not hearing, as I said, point two, leads to judgment and even death. That sword is a two-edged sword, and it divides and it cuts. God's word must be sown. Third point, God's word must be sown to distinguish the wheat from the tares. God sends us out to preach and to share and to live the word of God, and that brings a separation and a distinction. As we read our text, we see something radical happening here when Paul and Barnabas say that we will turn to the Gentiles. There's a break that happens in Paul's ministry, and they will still do this. They will still enter a community and go to the synagogue first because the Bible is there. People are there reading the Bible. But then they, when they are rejected, they go to the Gentiles. They are reaching out to those who are actually receptive. What's amazing to think, and Paul will write of this, that the rejection of God's word would result in the reconciliation of those that are rejected by God, if that makes sense. In other words, the Gentiles were rejected by God. The word comes to the Jews, and the Jews reject it, but through that process, the Gentiles are saved. Those that are the rejected, those that are the outsiders, now become those that are reconciled to God because of those that didn't listen. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing how God works? What's interesting is Paul says, but my prayer is for Israel, for those who did not listen, to be driven to hear by the Gentiles being saved. Romans chapter 11, chapters 9, 10, and 11. So that both Jew and Gentile all would come to faith in Christ. God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than ours. We are called to walk by faith in God's light. God's mysterious revelation of His will, of His ways, are things we embrace by faith. God's light shines out in the darkness. What does its purpose? The light of the word, its purpose is twofold. One is provide the way of life. And secondly, to show how dark and needy the world is. So as God's light shines forth, as we live and as we speak the word of light, it also shows a contrast between that and what is being held and taught in the world. Darkness becomes obvious when the light is shined out. And so the question again to you today is, do you have eyes to see the light? Paul says to us, walk in the light, that light of God's word, the light that ultimately becomes part of who you are. We are called to be bearers of the light. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are light bearers. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but ultimately that light shines through you. People see Jesus. People see the light. Walk in that light as children of light. Rejoice in the light. Be the light to the world. As Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that what? That men may see your good works and what? Glorify the Father. The light in your eyes, in your ears, in your life. In summary, be careful, little ears, how you hear. In our text today, there are two groups of people. Those who heard and rejoiced and put into practice, and those who rejected and ended up opposing themselves and the truth and perished. Which one are you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to wander about, but you have given to us your word. We thank you, O Lord, for sending messengers like Paul and Barnabas out into the world to come to places like Antioch here and bringing the word of life, the light of life, that precious revelation of yourself and what you have done for us, what you are doing and what you will do, the grace of God revealed to us. We thank you, O Lord, for granting unto us to hear, to read, to understand. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to do so, to put it into practice, to hear, to read, to understand, to meditate, and to do. We thank you, O Lord, that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, the light of Jesus Christ, revealed through the Word of God. And we pray that you would enable us to hear appropriately. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.